This is Vernon Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Also streaming live on HoosierLandTV.com. Each weekday, Party Line brings you conversations with local leaders, community organizations, business owners, elected officials, event organizers, and the people making a difference across Clinton, Boone, Carroll, and surrounding counties. We also want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open throughout the program at 765-659-3338. Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Whether you're listening on WILO, Boone's Best 102.7, watching on Hoosierland TV, or joining us online, we invite you to be part of the show. Call us at 765-659-3338. This is Party Line.
It is Wednesday morning. Thank you for joining us for Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. We do have a full docket. We're going to get right to it today, and then we'll talk about the weather a little bit. I see Mel has the forecast over there on the side. However, I know she has a meeting to get to, so we do welcome Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. Good morning, Mayor. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Hey, we're doing all right, keeping our fingers crossed that the weather isn't quite as bad as what they're predicting at this point.
Good, good. That's great to hear.
Yeah. So,
happy to hear that.
Yeah. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, I have a few things on my mind this morning. First of all, you know, we've had a lot of people reach out to us concerned about the splash pad and how we have to shut that down. It was shut down for about 4 days. One thing that I want to encourage people is if you take small toddlers or babies there, make sure that they have swimmers on and make sure that they use the restroom before, you know, they're in the splash pad area. A few days ago, they showed me a picture of the sample that they sent, and it was really bad. I mean, really bad with waste in it. So, you know, we're just encouraging people to make sure that those things don't happen when they're using the splash pad. It's a great amenity for our community, and it's free. So, you know, we want to be able to keep that open. So Parks Department, when they send that in to get it tested, if it does not pass, then we have to shut the splash pad down. We have to totally clean it, sanitize it, refill it, put chemicals in it, and we have to wait so many hours in between there. And once we take a new sample, it takes 24 hours to get back from the sample results. So I just want people to know it's not that we want that to be shut down. It's not our desire. We want it to be usable for people. We just ask that, you know, the citizens take care when they go in there with that facility and use it properly. So I just want to explain that to people because we have a lot of people asking about that and why it's closed down. There's nothing at this time outside of the bucket that is broken. It is broken. We are not really sure what's going on. We have contacted a company that works on that equipment, and they're thinking there's a good possibility that maybe there is a crack underneath the concrete that, you know, but they're going to have to run a camera through it. And if they do that, then that would take a few days as well. So we're thinking maybe it might be more towards the end of the season before we get that accomplished. So it was just one of the things on my mind, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to talk about that today.
So. Well, I'm glad you did, and I hope folks get that, because nobody wants to swim in a toilet. So if you're coming to bring your kids, I'm thankful that the city tests it there, to be honest with you. I don't know if people think it's just plain old water that comes out of garden hose or what. It is not. It's all tested, and this is for everyone's safety. So please do your part. You know, I'll say it for you. Please do your part if you're taking small children there or others, and make sure that you take precautions so that everybody else doesn't have to swim in that. So, or I'll actually, we're not swimming, but be in that kind of water. So I'm thankful that you do that, just so you know.
Yes, and it does recycle. It's not fresh water all the time. It's recycling the water. We have filters, and also there's chemicals that they put in there. And so we're doing our best that we can do, but I'm going to tell you, if people would have seen this sample that I saw, they would not have wanted their children in there, nor would they want to have been in there. It was bad. Hmm. And so then that means that we have to pressure wash it, we have to sanitize it, we have to do all those things. And it takes us a good half a day to a day just to get that taken care of.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. What else is on your mind this morning?
Okay, I have a couple of things on my mind. Also, it's summertime. People are out and around. They're noticing things in the community, and I just want to let them know what's going on. One of the things that has been brought up to us is the roundhouse. And I just want people to know on the roundhouse that we're working on that. I just spoke with Shan Sheridan, and he said that they are waiting for the results from a state historical commission, and they got those results back yesterday. I guess you have to, because it's considered historical, and you have to get their approval, so they approved, so we're going to be working towards getting that down. We do have a ready grant to make that happen, and it's for $250,000. That money has to be spent by the end of September, so we're hoping to get moving on that real soon and to get that area cleaned up, and we're just like everyone else. You know, we don't like to see that in our community either, but we're doing what we can to move forward on it. We're in the process, and I just want people to know that. We're not blind to that. It's just the fact that there's processes that you have to follow.
Yeah, there's a lot of government red tape that you have to go through, and you can't just wave a wand and say, okay, we're going to clean it up.
Yeah, since it's on the state historic, it must be on their list. I don't know. But anyway, he said they had to reach out to them. It's not owned by the city of Frankfort. As you know, it's that railway. I forget what it's called. But anyway, it's by a group that owns it. It's not city of Frankfort, and it's not the railroad. So that group is who's working on that, and we're trying to get that taken care of. So I just want people to know that we are out there. You know, we know these things are going on. We're working on them. Anybody that's worked in government probably realizes that everything's a process. Everything has to be done just right, you know, or you can't get the approvals or you can't get things done. So anyway, I just noticed that we're getting a lot of calls here lately, people concerned about properties. And as I've always said, my office is always open. I appreciate calls. I would much rather see somebody call me, you know, than put something that maybe isn't the real information out on social media or whatever that might be, because we take great pride. We have great departments, we have great employees, and they work really hard for our community. And I want them, you know, to be recognized for that, and for people not to think that, you know, someone's maybe not doing their job, or, you know, not the way that they would like to see it done. So that's just why it's all on my mind, I guess.
Sure. No, we understand. And, it's, you know, at one point we were trying to save the roundhouse, but at some point there's a cost that is just so astronomical these days and all of that. We get it. So at this point, we might as well
and
try.
And with all the destruction from the fire, there's just no coming back from that.
Yeah. And there's another building, I believe, out there. What Shan was telling me, like the, I can't think of what it is, like the engine house or the maintenance.
I think it's the maintenance barn, call it maintenance barn. Yeah, I think that's still out there.
Yeah, but we're trying to do the best that we can to save what we can, but you know, take care of how it's looking out there, how, you know, unsightly that looks. And then last of all, there's been also discussion, and we've had calls on the Exide property. This has been an ongoing situation for the city of Frankfort. We actually have probably been working on that since 2022, I believe, you know, because we've had to be in touch with them, make sure that they're doing what they can do to keep that property up. in the past, they had always, if we got a hold of them, sometimes we didn't even have to get a hold of them, they would have somebody come in and mow the property. Also, I know that we had a developer that was interested in that property probably 4 or 5 years ago. They came in, they did some boring, and then the developer no longer wanted to take that property over. It is not really Exide anymore. There's no such thing as Exide here in the United States, I was told, but it's called the Exide Environmental Response Trust. And it is actually under the U.S. EPA and IDEM. So they are taking, well, really U.S. EPA takes the lead on that. And then also non-lead agency is IDEM. It's in a trust. The trust has ran out of money. So that causes us a problem.
Yeah, yes. Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
And again, it's not an easy cleanup there, right? So I think that's the problem, because the soil has to be cleaned so far down and they'd have to remove so much or something like that. Am I thinking correctly on that?
You are. This is the first year, according to, I talked to a code enforcement to make sure that I had my facts straight on this. This is the first year that they've actually said we do not have the money to maintain it. So we have to go in. It's a process that we have to do as well. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but it's probably been 5, 6 years ago, maybe longer, that the street department took over the mowing of tall grass. We used to always bid that out, and at that time we got a mower for the street department, and they have to mow any grass, not just there, but anywhere in the city, you know, where the grass is too tall. So they went out and worked on it, I believe, I was at the end of last week, first of this week, and the mower broke down. So it's not the way it always goes.
Are you sure you're not mowing my farm? This sounds really familiar here.
Yeah.
So then we had to repair the mower, and that took 2 or 3 days. And, you know, like I said, everything is a process. You know, our code enforcement has been in touch with people from the trust. There's a couple people that they've talked to multiple times. Also, I have talked with them to see what we can do. We're also going to be setting up a meeting with our legal counsel, along with code enforcement, myself, to see if we can get inside the fenced area. And, you know, I mean, it's a cleanup for the city, so it's a cost to the city that we'll probably never get back.
Right.
I mean, they're not paying their taxes, and when I mentioned that to them, I mean, there's nothing they can do about it because there's no money in the trust. So even if it goes to tax sale, it gets sold, then somebody else would be responsible. But like they said to me, probably nobody's going to buy it. You're probably talking hundreds of thousands, if not a million of dollars to rehab that or remediate that area.
Yeah, the cleanup, I think, would be the cost there. I mean, they'd have to do all of that before they could even put something else on it. And that's what makes it
absolutely
so expensive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, we, like I said, we had a developer interested a few years back. And once, you know, we kept getting the results back and everything that was going on, well, of course, nobody wants to touch it. So that's kind of the situation we're in. This is, like I said, the first year as well that we've had to actually go out and mow it because they do not have the funding. So this is going to be a cost to the city that we can put a lien on that property, but it's got to go to sell, and then we would have to get our money at that time, and who knows if that will happen. That's just, you know, who knows.
Well, and it's not necessarily cost effective for the city to own it either, because then you'd have to clean it up.
Right, absolutely. So we really don't want the property ourselves. So,
yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they did, if you look them up, they have a website, you can look them up, you know, and they are going to remediate it as long as the funding is there. Well, now they no longer have the funding, so that, you know, presents another problem for us. So it is a historical property. I don't know if anybody remembers, but it has been Ushko. That's where my grandpa worked. Does anybody remember that? It was called Ushko. They made, I want to say, the wood sides for the, what were those cars called that had the wood?
Oh, the Woodies?
Woody's, yeah. I think that's what they made. I'm not positive. And then there was also a cabinet factory in there. You know, we've had all different things in there. So it is considered historical, so that's another problem that we have, you know, that we have to work with. So
just kind of snowballs.
Yes, and, you know, I hate it that people, you know, are upset about that, because I'm upset about it. I don't like seeing that either. But I also know there's processes. You have to, you know, you have to do legal processes. And the last thing we want to do is mess up a legal process and end up with something that we don't really, you know, want to do.
And have to spend more money in the long run.
Exactly, exactly. And it will be a cost. I mean, no matter who gets that property, it is going to be a cost to remediate that property. So those are just kind of some of the things that are on my mind today. And I know people are, you know, calling in sometimes about yards that need to be mowed and also some properties that need to be cleaned up. We now have three people, but at two and a half time, out on code enforcement. They're very, very busy at this time. They're working really hard to help us keep the city clean and you know, keep yards mowed and that type thing. And they deserve a medal for what they do, because they put up, you know, with a lot as well from people, because people don't like it when you come on their property and you try to help them get that cleaned up. So
they don't.
No. Well, you know why? And the other thing is a lot of those people that are doing the complaining, if they got a mower, why can't they help their neighbor? You know?
Right.
It may just be me, but that's my mindset. Mm-hmm. Help your neighbor. Who knows? You don't know what's going on with that neighbor and why they can't get their yard mowed. Get out, you know, go ask. See if you can help. You know?
Yeah. So. And, you know, and there again, it's a process. You know, you have to give them so many days to mow it. And if they don't, then we go in and mow it. They are charged for that. If they pay that fine within, I want to say, 10 days at the clerk treasurer's office, and it's lesser amount. If they don't, then we file a lien against the property, and then all that comes through at the time the property sold or when somebody pays their property taxes. So everything's a process. Unfortunately, you know, we can't just go on somebody's property and just do whatever we want. That's not how it works. But I will tell you that code enforcement is working very diligently to keep our city clean and to help, you know, keep yards mowed. And like I said, properties cleaned up. And it's a tough job.
It is. It is. Well, Mayor, thank you for calling in. Anything else on your mind you'd like to share before we let you off the hook here?
I can't think of anything, but I will tell you, I don't know if I said when I was talking about Splash Pad, it is open today.
There we go. That's the most important thing, right?
It is open. Okay, well, thank you so much for letting me call home.
Anytime. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Take care. Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets with some updates there on some of the things happening in our community. So we really appreciate her calling in. And that's the best part of Party Line, right, is that people can call in and let us know what's happening in our community. In the meantime, Carl Gingrich from Coach Kitts has been here waiting in the wings. Good morning, Carl. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Hey, we're doing all right. Thanks for being patient with us this morning. I see that you as well have some things on your mind here today.
Oh, yeah, of course. We had a really busy month of May. So we had a bunch of end of year celebrations, award ceremonies. We awarded scholarships to five scholarship winners, actually. And then we have a lot going on this summer as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about the things in May before we get to some of these things. Especially, I love hearing that you're giving out scholarships as well.
Mm-hmm. So we began May, I believe it was the first week of May, actually, on that Friday, with our end of year celebrations. And we had that at Rossville. So basically, we would just bring in food, bring all of our matches together, and they would just play games, have a good time, and kind of in their year, they still met for a few times afterward, but it was kind of that big celebration since they don't meet during the summer.
So what you're talking about is students and their mentees.
Yes, for having our local heroes.
Yeah, for local heroes. So older kids getting with their younger kid, end of year celebration kind of thing.
Yes, and since they don't meet during the summer, especially for the seniors, it was their last time seeing their mentee. And it was just to kind of appreciate them and make sure that they had one last good time together. And then we had one at Clinton Central and Clinton Prairie later in the month. We didn't do one specifically for Frankfort because it's very difficult to coordinate that because they're moving off campus. There's three different schools.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to get them all together. So instead, we offered our mentors to get them snacks and stuff like that so that they could still celebrate with their mentee, but it wasn't a huge celebration. And we're working on how we might be able to do that in the future. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I can see where that is a little bit more difficult, but still, I get what you're saying. It would be nice to be able to do that. So
yeah, and then award ceremonies, we did 9 of them.
Is that all? It's just 9, huh?
Just 9. So we did 4 underclassmen, just telling all of our mentors how much we appreciate them, welcoming them back next year, and just giving them a certificate. And then we had 4 senior awards, where we gave out cords, gave them certificates, and also recognized all of them. And then we also gave out our scholarship, which I will get to in a little bit. And this year, for the first time, we did middle school awards at Clinton Prairie, because we actually have some middle schoolers who are mentors at Clinton Prairie. And these are kids that just really stepped up. They really wanted to do it. And I will say we had probably the largest turnout I have seen at Clinton Prairie for our call-out meeting this spring. And most of them were middle schoolers going into 9th grade. So we're building up that foundation there to where we might end up with like 50, 60, even moving towards 70 kids that are participating in the program.
I was going to ask you, what is the percent, if you know, of student mentors that return, that aren't graduating, of course, mm-hmm. but that return to come back and mentor again?
So it depends which school.
Okay.
So at Frankfurt, it's not the highest return rate just because scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Prairie and Central, we're pretty high up there, probably around that like 80%. And then Rossville, it's 100% except for the seniors who go half day.
Wow.
So that's the only ones that we ever really see that don't return.
That's pretty good return on investment,
yeah.
I'd say.
I would say so. I have talked with, we have done some consulting services, and when I tell the consultant that, he's blown away. He's like, you guys are doing something right, your school contacts are doing something right, and these kids are really engaged.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we did those awards, and then our scholarship winners received their awards. So we had Brooklyn Hall at Clinton Central, Brennan Smith at Clinton Prairie, Caleb Compton at Frankfurt High School, Cabri Bogan at Rossville High School, and Olivia James at Rossville High School. So for the scholarship, we basically asked them to answer a few questions, and then they wrote a short essay. It was about 250, 300 words, and we were originally going to get out 4. And then we got a lot of really great essays, so we ended up giving out 5.
That's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It's a great problem to have. And if you read these essays, they were just so heartfelt, and you could tell how much this experience meant to them.
It is a great experience as a mentor in one of the different programs, but I do enjoy it very much. It's a great experience.
Yeah, and these mentors ranged from being in the program for only 1 year for one of them, and we could just see the impact it had on her, how it's going to influence her future, the impact that she had on her kid, and it ranged all the way to being 4 years in the program. So it really just, the impact starts really early and lasts that long.
Yeah, I saw one of the mentees that's in the program I do, working at a fast food restaurant recently, and I went through the drive-thru, and she was like, oh my God! And it was so cool just to see how well she's doing. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Was it Culver's?
Yes, it was.
Yep, I know who you're talking about. She's doing a great job,
she
honestly.
That's funny. You knew exactly where I was going with that. Carl Gingrich from Coach Kids is our guest on Party Line today.
So then that was basically our month of May, and we took a breather for about a week. And then we have jumped into summer. We have welcomed a summer intern. I am hoping to bring her on next month to talk with you guys and just kind of talk about what she's been doing, what she's planning to do in the future. And we're really excited to have her. She's absolutely fantastic. Her name's Sydney McCullough. She's from Rossville. She used to be a mentor. And her sister is actually still a mentor over there. So it's kind of a legacy thing. It's great. And so we had her, thank goodness, for the Frankfurt Library Summer Extravaganza last week. And she was out there giving tattoos, temporary tattoos.
She's not out there with her machine and doing real tattoos.
And she was overseeing kind of
all said Coach Kids.
They did, actually. But she was overseeing the sidewalk chalk area and just helping us set up and everything, which was really helpful, honestly. And then she was also at the Community Foundation concert. I know you were there. That was a great time. And so we were out there for that. And she's also really been helping us with rearranging our entire office. So if anybody were to come in, they'd probably think we were moving out. But actually, we're moving everything back in. So it looks a lot nicer. And Casey is just over the moon about it.
Sure.
She keeps just saying, I'm so happy. Because this is something she's wanted to do since she started.
Sure. It needed a little love.
It did.
But really, when have you had time lately to do that yourself? So
exactly.
Having just a little bit of an extra hand makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Yes. And then we're also planning for some additional things this summer. So we're kind of jumping on the train of the lemonade stands. We don't want to take any business away from young entrepreneurs, but when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade stands. And so we're going to possibly have a few this month, and then, or maybe just one, and then we might have a few next month as well. Just come on out, get some lemonade, support Coach Kids. And then we're also scheduling our Days at the Bay, which is what we usually do every single year with our mentors, mentees, and families. They get to come and enter Sapphire Bay for free, and they just get to have a good time.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of this sponsored by the Community Foundation, and they've just been fantastic, so I wanted to give them a quick shout-out. I know that they come on here every single month, and I've thought about calling and just being like, you guys are awesome. But
Feel free to call anytime.
I know.
They'd love to hear from you.
Well, I talk to them all the time, so Emerald's probably sick of my phone number popping up at this point. And then we also have the Stars and Stripes Car Show coming up, so that's on July 4th. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at the TPA Park Shelter House, number 4. And there will be door prizes, food, a 50-50 drawing, music by Amber Kennedy. And that is organized by Randy West. He does that every single year. He does a bunch of benefit car shows every single year. But we are always so thankful that he keeps us in mind. And he puts us on July 4th because he knows that that is a time where there's a lot of people out at TPA Park. So a lot of people will come out and support it. And then, of course, we have our annual hot dog breakfast and cornhole tournament. It's time to start talking about that again. So the breakfast this year will be 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's at Prairie Creek Park Event Center. We'll have biscuits and gravy, sausage links, fresh fruit, and drink for only $7. Last year it was $8. We are dropping it down to $7. And kids 5 and under eat free.
That's nice. This is the first thing that we've heard in a long time where the price is coming down.
Well, we try. We try. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
And then we have our cornhole tournament. Registration starts at 8:30 a.m. Cornhole actually starts at 9:30 a.m. at Prairie Creek Park as well. The adult cost per team is $40. The kids cost per kid, because we're doing a kids cornhole tournament this year, actually. Last year, we had quite a few that were about 12, 13 that really wanted to play, but it was a little further for them. They couldn't really... we wanted to make it an actual tournament for the kids rather than making them play with adults, because then we're doing double elimination, but they're only getting two games rather than possibly like eight whole games.
Sure.
So we're having it be about $5 per kid, and if we get a large turnout, we'll do doubles rather than just doing a single tournament. But we don't know for this first year how big it's going to be for the kids, so we're just doing the planning on it being singles. And adults will have a cash prize for first and second place. Kids will have a prize for first and second place as well.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love corn. Oh, we trash talk when we play cornhole.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
But kids will be present, so you won't be able to.
We don't that kind of trash talk.
Yeah, I don't know.
We just like to hit each other on
she
a little
says
bit.
That because mm-hmm. we're on air, but yeah.
No, it's just a game. It's just fun.
And for the hot dog festival, we do have sponsorships. I think this is the first time we're doing this for a few years now. We're really looking for top dog sponsors, and those are $100, and it gets your name on the back of our Hot Dog Festival t-shirt, and your name and logo will be displayed inside and outside of the event, so the cornhole and the breakfast, and you also get a ticket for the breakfast. So we are asking if anybody's interested that you would let us know by June 30th.
Okay, that'll be here before you know it.
It will be.
All right.
It was just May. I don't know.
You were just giving away a scholarship.
I was just giving away a scholarship, and now it's like mid-June.
Well, that happens. Okay, so what else can we look forward to? Anything else on your list over there that you need to tell us before?
I will say you can see us at the Back to School Waddle for the United Way. That is also the week of the Hot Dog Festival. So that's on the Thursday. Our breakfast and cornhole tournament's on that Saturday. So we have that Friday in between to take a little bit of a breather. So that'll be wonderful. And I know the Back to School Waddle will be really fun. If you need a duck, let me know, because I'm also part of the United Way marketing team, so I can help set you up with that.
Okay.
I tried to get through it as fast as possible.
Did we get through the list?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking through.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you had a lot going on this time, so I knew that this was going to be heavy. Okay, so
it's nice that I'm a fast talker, honestly.
First thing coming up on the list, though, is the car show, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
As of right now, we might have a lemonade stand beforehand.
Oh, okay. So will you let us know if you happen to have a lemonade stand before that?
I'll think about it, yeah.
So are you going to have the lemonade stands at the office out front?
So we are trying to figure that out for sure. So we've had a few of our board members and stuff who have offered to possibly have it at their house, because mm-hmm. it might just be easier to get to and from it. But we want to try to utilize our downtown space as much as possible. So if we have the lemonade stand there, that's bringing awareness to where our office is, because some people still think we're out by the Schultz area, but we actually are downtown. So it'll just depend.
A lot going on there.
Yeah, that's more of a Casey thing. She's the one planning all that. So.
Okay, if somebody would like to donate, again, we have a few opportunities to do that, especially with the Hot Dog Festival coming up, and opportunities for the Breakfast and Cornhole event sponsor, presenting sponsor, and the Top Dog sponsor. How can folks become, how do they get you their money for that?
So they can, I would say, contact Casey.
Okay.
So you can call our office at 765-654-8812, and that'll get you to Casey. She's now sat up right next to the phone, thank goodness. I don't have to run over and answer it every single time now. And you can also email her at callen, A-L-L-E-N, at coachkids.org. And I don't want to give her personal phone number out.
You can also stop by.
You can also stop by at 5 West Clinton Street in Frankfort.
Okay. Appreciate that, Carl.
Of course.
You are a wealth of information. We'll keep all of this so we can continue to let folks know. And Carl will give us press releases as well as when they get closer to things and need us to share information like lemonade stand or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Thank you very much. We appreciate what Coach Kids does for the kids in our community. There's a lot of wonderful things that happen through that organization. I can say from my own standpoint that it's just been a great experience for the last few years that I've been involved. So thank you for making me get involved.
Yeah, thank you for being involved.
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I kind of walked into your office and said, Cindy, we need you.
But I got to tell you, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I appreciate that. Carl Gingrich with Coach Kids. Again, all you have to do if you would like to donate is go to the website or stop by the office or give them a call, whatever. There are several ways to do that, and they would really appreciate it. So we will be seeing you soon, either with lemonade or at the car show or whatever else.
Actually,
we might be talking to you tonight depending on the weather.
Yeah.
We'll keep our fingers crossed, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope we don't have to go on air too much.
Yeah, last storm when it was bad, Carl was the guy back here, and so we still appreciate you being around here as well.
I'm still trying to get my nighttime persona on air, because I know I said, like, this is Carl coming back at you. And I was like, that's not it. That's not it. We got to tweak that.
I thought it sounded fine.
It worked out. All right. Thanks, Carl. We appreciate it. We will come back. We have another guest coming up. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.